Happy day.
Happy day.
It's like winter outside. I'm not into it.
Except I really love the, for the first time I was outside when it was cold and I had my face mask on and I was like, ooh, it keeps your face warm. I like this.
Yeah, no, I don't like the cold. I've decided I want to live somewhere warm and travel, like, you know, go on an autumn leaf vacation or a snow vacation, but stay grounded somewhere warm.
I hear you. Do you think this happens to us? Because I was never much of a warm weather person, but the older I get, the more I want to gravitate toward something south where it's warmer.
I've always liked the warm. I've never liked the snow. I mean, I like shoveling snow. I like walking in the snow. We had this conversation. I like cross-country skiing.
Right.
I used to love downhill skiing. But you can do that like in a little week's vacation and then go back to your warm place.
Right, right.
But I don't know where that is because I don't want to live in Florida and I don't want to live in North Carolina.
How about South? South Carolina? Georgia?
Nah, it's too cracker, too many crackers for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't really like the South.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, so
the future, who knows what the future holds?
That's what's exciting about being our age and getting toward the end of our working careers and maybe having
exploring
the flexibility
options.
Do things. It's really fun.
Exactly.
But who's going to start with food?
I would love to start with the delicious bouillabaisse that I made the other day.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear.
It's not a traditional bouillabaisse because generally you have to make a roux for a regular bouillabaisse, which is basically a fancy mayonnaise. I did not do that. I sautéed onions, leeks, and fennel. Mm-hmm. And then I put some garlic in it. And then I put in some of that. I still have it in my glove compartment for you. Some of the seafood broth.
Okay.
Base. And a couple of little jars of clam juice.
Okay.
And I let the vegetables cook for a bit. I threw in some fresh chopped tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And I threw in some saffron and I threw in a bay leaf. And I think I put some thyme. Now I can't remember. Yeah, I put thyme in it. And I let that cook for a bit. And then I had cod, mm-hmm. clams, mussels, and shrimp.
Okay.
And basically just on top of the broth that I had going, I put the cod in first and I let it cook for about a minute. And then I threw the clams and the mussels in and I let that cook for a minute. And I threw the shrimp in last and finished it. And I served it. I bought a really beautiful big ciabatta bread and I cut nice big wedges and I put that in the bottom of the bowl. And
nice.
Put stew on top of it. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Well, it's one of my favorites. And for listeners who maybe don't know what roux is, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of that's kind of what makes a seafood stew a bouillabaisse. I think the two things, there's several things that make bouillabaisse bouillabaisse. And that is a combination of shellfish and regular fish.
Yeah.
Saffron, I think, is an indicator of bouillabaisse.
I kind of feel the fennel too.
Fennel, it depends on the recipe. It depends mm-hmm. on the recipe, but yes, I love it.
Right.
And also, so the roux, the combination of fishes, and then as opposed to cioppino, which is a very tomato-y product, bouillabaisse is supposed to be an influence of tomato, but not super, super tomato-y.
Right.
And the roux, which consists basically is a mayonnaise that you may make out of roasted red peppers, mm-hmm. Egg yolks, and breadcrumbs and garlic.
Yep. You can put some crushed red pepper in it if you want it, you know, make it a little spicy. And then you just mix that up sometimes in a blender. I generally would do it. And then I would drizzle oil in to make sort of the emulsification.
Yeah. But for my the bouillabaisse that I do, my everyday bouillabaisse, not that I'd have it every day, but mm-hmm. if I'm just doing it for Don and myself, I don't do the Rui. As much as I love it, it doesn't, it's not like it's a bad dish without it.
It didn't add anything, and, you know, it's basically fat. So
right. It makes it decadent, but
it was pretty delicious. Mario loved it.
I'm surprised you put in your cod first.
It was very large. They were very pretty substantial pieces of cod. Because
just so you know, what I do when I'm, and I have done it with cod, mm-hmm. I'll put the cod in first, and I just let it kind of barely cook through, and mm-hmm. I take it out. And then I put in my clams, because they take longer.
Right.
And then the mussels. Mm-hmm. And then I throw in the shrimp.
Right.
And then at the very end, I'll try to break up the cod just a little bit and just put it in the bowls so it doesn't disintegrate. But right. yours didn't disintegrate?
It did not. And they were very thick pieces. I had two pretty substantial fillets. I didn't even have a cubed. I just had whole fillets.
Right. Right.
And it was good. It was delicious.
Nice.
I know. So we had that the other day. And yesterday, as you know, I'm cooking for my niece once a week. She's the young lady whose son is in a body cast. So we've all been sort of helping her out, and I cook for her once a week. And I made a really yummy chicken stew, which they don't eat a lot of red meat. Mario and I don't eat a lot of red meat either.
Right,
and,
neither do I.
And I basically just, I had cubed breast and thighs, and I just seasoned them. I had a little flour on them, and I just browned them really quickly and took them out. Then I put in onion, a little garlic, sauteed that for a bit. Then I threw in a whole bunch of celery, a ton of carrots that I cut to pretty substantial, almost like a baby carrot size, pretty substantial pieces of carrot. And put the chicken back in, put chicken broth in it, put a little bit of chopped up tomato in it as well. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess I'm using a lot of thyme and things. I always use thyme when it's chicken or turkey. And so I put some thyme.
Right.
What else? I put a couple of potatoes cubed.
Do you use fresh thyme or dried?
Fresh thyme.
Right.
Fresh herbs at work all the time. So I'm always, you know, clipping a couple of sprigs here and there. And then when it was almost done, when it had about another 20, 25 minutes, I threw in some pearl onions. And I threw in some green peas.
Nice.
And the little bit of flour that I had on the chicken initially thickened it. It wasn't quite as thick as I wanted. And I had quite a lot of broth in it because it was for Mario. And, you know, I had two different things going on. And I wanted to make sure there was a substantial amount of stock or broth. So I, towards the end, it didn't seem like it was going to be thick enough. So I made a quick roux on the side and then put some of that broth in and then put it back in, you know, sort of tempered it, put it back in. So I thickened up the whole thing and it was delicious.
And what did you serve it with? So did you just,
Just made them a big salad on the side and I brought a really beautiful baguette over just out of the oven.
Right. Perfect.
And that was it. Yeah. Perfect. You know, there was potatoes in it, so they didn't need a starch. Ton of vegetables. So it was good. It was really good. And we're having it. And we're having it again tonight.
Yes.
I know.
Good.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. So what have you been cooking? You've been doing a lot of vegan stuff?
Yeah. I mean, my nanny client, you know, because I'm now officially a former chef. I lost my job as a chef in March and I'm not sure, but I don't think there's a possibility I don't want to go back to that industry. So it's kind of hard to accept that, but
you know what the good thing is? You can still cook at home. So you still
Yeah, it's different.
You still feed that need to be creative and cook. And
it's a different, well, first of all, you bring up a really good point. It's a different thing to me completely cooking from myself and my significant other versus cooking for a catering job or a family or a client. It's the catering jobs, what they give you is this incredible satisfaction when you really, that's when you really are trying to put out your best work and you're trying to really turn people on. And you, and when you get that feedback, it's so great when people love it.
Yeah, it certainly satisfies the need in me, cooking, whether it's just cooking. And it's also, I am not only cooking for Mario. So I'm cooking for my uncle. I'm cooking for other friends. People. I'm cooking for other people, my in-laws. So right. I am still getting that, you know, feedback. But it's equally as satisfying for me to cook.
Well, like, let me give you an example. There are things that I do for myself and Don that I would never, ever do if I were hired by someone. For example, last night I made, I should talk about this before we get to, we'll do vegan next segment. But last night I made my crab cakes, which I think I talked about last week that I was planning. And I didn't do any kind of super lump. I just got, it wasn't claw meat. It was just like special, whatever it was. It looked like claw. And so I always kind of press my crab meat with paper towels. I try to get out some of the liquid.
Moisture.
Not everybody does that, but I do because I don't put any breadcrumbs in it. So I'm trying to really, the binding is very important.
Right.
So I added, because now all I use is a vegan mayonnaise.
Right.
So I added the vegan mayonnaise kind of for flavor, but then I did add a couple of eggs. Mm-hmm. And I added some ground flaxseed as my sort of binder.
Right.
And then what I did was after that mixture, and I think I put in some dried thyme and that's it. Like I don't
God,
even.
Both of us are using a ton of thyme.
Yeah. I mean, I love thyme, you know.
Yeah, I do too.
It's a go-to herb for me. But so I let that get cold. And then at the end of the day, I formed it into patties and I dredged it in a combination of black sesame seeds and flax seeds, ground.
That sounds good.
So fried them up. Actually, I did them in the oven because you were the one that told me that you always do your crab cakes in the oven.
Yep.
And I always like stink up my whole stovetop by frying them.
Exactly.
And I'm so sick of cleaning my stovetop that I'm willing to do whatever it takes not to do that. So
yep.
I put a little bit of coconut oil
on the pan
and I brushed a little bit on the top.
Yeah, it works perfectly.
It does. And
I know.
Cooked it at like 400, 425. And what I found was, it was interesting to me. The crunch, the flavor was great. The consistency was great.
Right.
The crunch of the ground sesame seeds and the flax seeds was almost too much. It was like too gritty.
So do you grind the sesame seeds too, or just the flaxseed?
Yeah.
Oh, so you, so isn't it kind of pulverized? It's not like dust-like?
Yes, but once it was like the crust of this crab cake at 400 or 425, it actually, the crunchiness of it was almost, like it would be, it's fine for me and Don eating at home, but what I took note of is that I would never serve this in a restaurant because the crunch was almost like, too intense.
Right. It sounds delicious to me.
No, it was delicious. And what I found, what was interesting this morning after because I actually didn't eat a big one last night. I ate a little sample.
Uh-huh.
But then the next day, because I tend to have fish for breakfast.
Yeah.
I took one of the crab cakes that I had initially baked in the oven at 400 and I put it in the microwave. That annoying crunch was
softened it.
Out.
Yeah.
So it felt like it had a crunchy coating, but it was more palatable. It was so interesting to me.
Right.
But, another thing I would do that I would never do for a catered event, I was teaching a class last mm-hmm. night. And I said, well, I have to go make my dinner. We're having crab cakes and dredged in, you know, what I just talked about, and mm-hmm. a Thai chili relish on top of it, Thai chili, nice. Sauce, which I had in the freezer. And curried cauliflower.
Yeah. So
one of my girls actually texted me and she said, can I have the recipe for your curried cauliflower? And I texted her back and I said, well, I have to preface this by saying this is my weekday. It's just for Dawn and I.
Right.
Curried cauliflower. What I do is I took a frozen bag of cauliflower.
Right.
Defrosted it. I took the, I made some like coconut oil butter that I have in the freezer. So it's like coconut oil, nutritional yeast, you know, uh-huh. some other things. And so I put in a chip, you know, a block of that coconut oil butter, some chopped garlic,
uh-huh.
The curry powder and some cumin,
uh-huh.
salt and pepper. And I freaking microwaved it.
Just in a bowl together?
In a bowl. Microwaved it. Because I don't want to do any dishes during the week. I just don't.
I hear you.
And I know all the chefs out there, they're going, oh my God, I can't believe you're using frozen. I can't believe you're.
No, you're right. There's certain shortcuts we take at home that we would never take with the
client. I would never do for dinner party. So I prefaced, you know, my recipe by saying, look, this is weekday cooking.
Right. So we're out of time. Okay. We'll be back in a minute and you'll tell me all about your vegan stuff.
Vegan, coming up.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So you have been, what's your vegan word of the week?
Vegan word of the week. And this has happened basically because I have these wonderful nanny clients who are vegan. Mm-hmm. So although I'm not doing a lot of regular cooking for them, I'm exposed to a vegan household. So for example, when I bring my lunch, I don't bring in any freaking meat into that house. Like I just don't, you know, but I do bring hard boiled eggs because mm-hmm. lots of times for lunch, that's what I'll have. Sometimes I bring yogurt or I bring some kind of vegetables and I will bring my hard boiled eggs.
Because does anybody have a problem with your eggs? No, house?
Vegans don't necessarily find eggs offensive. They just, realize that it's not for them. They act, some of them find meat offensive.
Yeah, I don't understand why vegans have a problem. I know it's not supposed to be any animal byproduct.
Oh, it's all on principle.
I know, but a chicken, that's, you know, it's not hurting the chicken to lay eggs.
I think it's a very, what I'm kind of learning about it, I think that veganism is a very principled philosophy. It's not about, hey, we're not hurting the chickens, they lay eggs anyway. It's about, it's a profoundly sort of principled philosophy that I don't eat things that come from animals,
right.
Period.
Right.
And I don't get it. What I love about my clients, particularly the wife, mommy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She works for an organization, a nonprofit, which is all about better farming practices for, because they realize that not everyone's going to be vegan. So if you're going to eat meat, for goodness sake, eat meat that it is from animals that are treated better.
Of course.
So even though she's a vegan, she's working with constantly with people from Whole Foods, from right. all over the industry, to just having better farming practices. So like I can get, and I've told her, I said, I'm probably never going to stop eating meat, but I really like what you're doing, because
yeah, of course.
If I'm going to eat meat, and just like there's so many other people that are going to continue to eat meat, why don't we try? Why
yeah, it needs to be sourced in a proper way. Yeah.
But the other factor that really holds me back in terms of the better farming practices and all of this stuff is that anything organic or farm-raised is more expensive. Yeah. And that's another thing that I've brought up with my client, and she's so great, and I love having these conversations with her. And that is, you know, I would love to be able to be 100% organic. I can't afford it.
Right.
Like they can't afford it. They make more money than I do, whatever. Right. Right. But, and she is like, I get it. Like that's part of what her company tries to do, is to have this, you know, this organic movement
right.
be, you know, more attainable for the average
masses.
Person who's trying to spend for two people $100 a week on groceries. It's very hard to do
if absolutely
if you go organic. So I took my first, and I'll talk about the recipes in a couple of minutes, but I took my first step in going organic by choosing the subscription service of Misfits Market.
Right. We talked about it last week a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what I found out is that as I'm building my box this week, that I do get to choose what I'm getting.
Oh, good.
I do get to choose. So I don't have to get potatoes and turnips and all the other stuff. But
right.
what they do, which I think is actually brilliant, they, your choices for your quote unquote box mm-hmm. are limited. So you can get celery, carrots, garlic, onions, bok choy, eggplant, mm-hmm. zucchini. Like there's a bunch of stuff that can come in your box that are totally organic.
Right.
But then there's add-ons. So if you want Brussels sprouts, and it could change from week to week, maybe Brussels sprouts mm-hmm. would be in the box last week. This week it's an add-on.
Right.
But what I find really amazing is that, so for my $22 box, which I haven't gotten yet, it'll be Saturday. Mm-hmm. When they offered me the add-ons, Brussels sprouts, for example, organic for right. 1 pound or, you know, whatever that container we typically get.
Right.
Was $3.99.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow.
Cauliflower. Cauliflower was maybe $4.99.
You know, wow.
Yeah, like that's a normal, that's
that is cheap
for non-organic stuff.
That's and amazing.
So, and you know, apples or all other kinds of asparagus was a little pricey, but you can tell they're trying to keep the price point at such a place
right.
that people can actually choose this and feel good about it.
So for your $22 box,
yeah,
give me proportions on how much you would get in it.
Well, I'm doing this from memory, but it was
okay.
two to four portions per week. I'm going to take a picture of it when I get it and to show people what a $22 box looks like.
Yeah, definitely.
But I chose, I think, celery, bok choy, eggplant, zucchini, yellow squash.
Okay, so stop right there. So is it one head of bok choy, one bunch of celery?
I really don't know the answer because I don't have my notes in front of me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just curious. Like, you get three zucchini, you get one zucchini,
right,
or you get four zucchini?
Like, basically, the $22 for me has to get me through 2 weeks of vegetables.
Right. So
I don't eat as many vegetables as I would like. Neither does Dawn, but I want to, you know,
right,
try and see if we can replace organic with the other. Meanwhile, Laura, I find out that Misfit Markets,
yeah,
also on these add-ons that I could add on, like Brussels sprouts or the other veggies,
cauliflower or whatever, yeah,
ever outside of the box materials.
Yes.
They have all kinds of pantry items. So a pound, Laura, a pound of quinoa, organic quinoa, $2.99.
Oh my God, that's so cheap.
I know.
I got to go check this out. That's really
cheap. I know,
cheap.
Like, I want to scream from the rooftops at this point.
Well, I will put a link on our, definitely put a link,
yeah,
on the post,
like,
this
I don't want to tell all my friends until I actually get my first box and realize, like I told Dawn, I said, you know, I'm not buying organic vegetables because we can't afford it. But I know I spent $15 last week on regular vegetables.
Right.
So if I can spend 22 every 2 weeks on organic, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And if their add-ons are comparable with what I'm paying at the grocery store for Brussels sprouts, I'm going to do it.
But it's not comparable. It's a lot less.
Well, it's,
I mean, that little cup of Brussels sprouts in ShopRite is $6. It's like $5.99.
It can be.
A head of cauliflower is like probably about the same, $4, $5, $6.
It can
bucks.
Be. It yeah. can be. When they're not on sale, they can be. So I'm
certainly
super excited.
Like, you know, quinoa, the pantry items.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm going to be transferring what I predict is I'm going to be transferring a lot of my, and it's delivered to your house. Oh my God.
Right.
So if I can get by ordering produce this way, getting pantry items this way, they even do organic tortilla chips, organic flours, organic nuts, like anything you can imagine in your pantry.
I'm going to check this out and I will put a link on our site, but next week, maybe we give a little review and we can have a picture of what
next
you actually get in the box.
Absolutely. And when I told my client, the vegan client, about it, she said, and I told her the price of the quinoa, she said, wow, can you let me know how this works out? Because
thought you learned about this from her.
No, you know what's happening? What's happening is I'm doing searches, Google searches for certain things.
Right.
Organic this, or I want this. And all of a sudden, all these ads are coming up on Facebook.
Wow, that's so great.
That's how I kept seeing this Misfits Market, and I kept looking at it. And so when I told Rachel about it, she said, all right, well, let me know how it works out, because I know that's a good company, because she's very abreast of all
right.
the, you know, I know that's a good company, and we might save a lot of money if we don't get everything from Whole Foods. She didn't actually say that, but I think that's what she was thinking.
Right.
Is that they get a delivery service from Whole Foods. I can only imagine what her grocery
paying.
Bill is a month, even with no meat. It's
yeah.
like unbelievable. But so
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Super excited about that.
That's great.
And then because... Now, another thing I did, now this is not food related, but it's in the sort of the vegan mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, being politically correct, you know, being lowering your carbon footprint. So my vegan client gets all of her clothes, almost all of her clothes for her children, 6 and 2 years old, from online consignment shops.
Okay,
so
cool.
She'll get like these boxes of clothes for
awesome.
Like a few bucks, and it clothes her children. And she can afford to do a lot more, but she doesn't care about that. She's like,
yeah,
I
kids
wanna...
grow out of them so quickly. Yeah.
So I looked up, with this in mind, I looked up over the weekend, consignment shopping for grown-ups, like for women.
Right.
Online. Guess what?
What?
There's a shit ton, a shiitake ton of online consignment shopping, which are like good for the planet kind of thing. So the company that I ordered things from is called Thread Up.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
So I'm gonna show you my shoes, okay? Our listeners can't see this, but this is a Dansko clog.
I know those, I've had many pairs of those
Dansko's. I'm sure you have.
Yep.
And they retail for about $130.
Probably more. Yep.
Okay. $50.
Really?
$50. Now they're slightly used. They're not, but look at the tops. They're perfect.
Pristine. That's
and
awesome.
For $50, I got a pair of Danskos, man.
That's great. Good for you.
So I'm kind of getting, and now, oh my God, my feed and Facebook now is like shampoo bars, you know,
oh,
like.
Yeah, now you're going to get all the targeted. Well, that's why you were getting the Misfits. It's just targeted ads.
You know what? It's working, because then I right. got something that said, it was some kind of laundry detergent that I just ordered this morning. It was like $20, but apparently it's good for like 75 loads of laundry. They're, instead of getting it in a big plastic container, you get these little sheets.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Off and throw them in the wash. And then, because apparently, and then the advertising is brilliant. They show this woman in front of a pile of laundry detergent bottles that you would accumulate over a lifetime.
Right.
Like, this is what
this small body, right?
Right. This is
did all these need. Loads.
And so I feel like I wanna do these things, but I'm one of these people that doesn't make a lot of money, so I can't always afford it. When these things start coming out that are more affordable, I get really excited.
It's That's like, great.
Let's do it, you know?
Good. So I started, one of Annie's daughters read me some information yesterday. So in the city, now that everybody's online and Zooming and doing everything pretty much virtually, there's this company called Course Horse, where you basically can go on and take courses for anything. You can learn how to sew, you can learn how to knit, you can learn Love how it. To, and they have an entire department structured just for cooking classes.
Okay.
So I'm not doing it now because, as you know, I'm having surgery next month. But when I've recovered in January, I'm going to sign up. And I think I've already, like, I had a conversation with the woman back and forth briefly. I'm going to be teaching cake decorating. I'm going to be teaching making pies. I'm going to be
doing my God.
A bread demo. I'm going to be doing a pizza demo. I'm going to be doing a mozzarella demo.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And it's all, you know, just sign up for how many courses you can teach.
Do you get paid?
Sorry?
Do you get paid?
Yeah.
How much?
I'm not going to say it on the air because I haven't finalized the whole thing yet. But you can look it up. It's called Course Horse.
Oh, I think that's so great, Laura.
Well, I'm going to look
when
into
you first
it.
Said this, when you first said this, I was like, wait, what the hell course are you going to take? You know everything about cooking. And then you were like, oh, no, I'm teaching the course.
I'm teaching the class. Because I used to do the cooking classes at Chambers Walk.
Right.
You know I can talk a blue streak about things.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm kind of into it.
That's really
you know, I'm gonna get back to her in January. Explained my hip situation, and you know, I'm having surgery, so we'll see what happens.
Wow.
Kind of excited about it.
That's
yeah.
awesome. That's I awesome. Know.
It's like everything is virtual now. Everything.
I don't ever want to go back.
I don't ever want to go back either. And I think it's really. I wish New Jersey would just close the hell down. To be honest,
well,
and really, and stop, you know, people are not adhering to what they should be. I can't tell you how many people, I go into ShopRite almost every morning. I'm literally almost the first customer there almost every morning. I'm there literally between 6 and 6:15 every morning. There's nobody in the store. But when I'm leaving, it's like when everybody's coming in, I can't tell you how many people don't have masks on, and there's someone standing outside ShopRite, and I hear the arguments happening behind me because they're not allowed to go in the store.
I don't see that. I don't see that where I live.
I see, you know, unfortunately, people are thinking that wearing a mask is a political statement.
They are
drinking the stupid Kool-Aid, and they're thinking
right-wing area. And, you know, I'm in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. There's plenty of right-wingers, but everybody's got a mask on when they walk into the store.
No, I see quite a lot of people. And again, they may just be pulling, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to put it on when they get closer to the door. But I hear the arguments happening behind me as I'm pulling out, and I see the, you know, not good.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of, so our original point was, I don't know if I'm ever going to go back from doing so much online. And this is coming from a person who used to cook in people's houses, and we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. Sorry.
That's okay. When we come back, I'll talk about a couple of the vegan recipes I'm going to use. And I also have some Facebook videos, food related,
right,
and anything that you think of.
We'll be back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Explore the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville and be part of the fun. Shop in the area's most unique stores, from antiques to toys to apparel, and you're sure to find a one-of-a-kind treasure. Make a reservation at one of Lambertville or New Hope's variety of dining options for dinner, wine, beer, or an artisan cocktail. Indoors or out, grab an ice cream cone to enjoy by the river for the first Friday fireworks. Create memories that will last a lifetime at the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville, where everyone is welcome. Visit DelawareRiverTowns.com.
And welcome back.
We're back.
And we are.
So can I talk about my vegan recipes?
Please do. I'm all ears.
All right. So my nanny clients have their kids taken care of from Friday afternoon until Sunday morning.
Right.
So I said, hey, why don't I do dinner for you? I'm not going to serve it. I'm just going to prepare it and leave it for them to reheat or whatever.
Right.
And they were so thrilled. And it brought back some of, you know, what I love about what I do, which was like, they were like, wow, we're going to have dinner cooked for us. We don't have to stop anything. These people don't get takeout. So, you know, they cook every single meal. So what
I'm sorry, you don't do any cooking for them at all?
No, not.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
No, because the job is primarily a teacher's assistant with their 6-year-old and minding the 2-year-old.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm pretty much, I'm all
surprised they haven't tapped that resource with you thus far.
Well, I hope they choose to do it in the future. I'm not sure, but so when my client was talking to me about, okay, how is this going to work? You know, and I think she had a hard time saying it. She said, you know, financially, what's it going to cost us?
Right.
And I said, well, you know what? This one is on me. So I'm just going to charge you. I'll charge you for the ingredients that I buy, mm-hmm, but my time is on me. I just really want to do this for you guys. And
nice.
They were very grateful. So what they chose, I gave them a bunch of options, but what they chose was the, coconut tofu, fried tofu with coconut sauce, which has curry powder, curry and cumin, and toasted peanuts.
That sounds good.
And then I'm going to make some jasmine rice. And so they can just heat that up. I'm going to, what I'll do is I take the extra firm tofu and I put it, I cut it into slices and then I put, press it with paper towels, get that moisture out as much as you can.
Yeah.
And then cut it into little cubes and then toss it into flour and then fry it at a high temperature to try to get a little crisp to it. It's not easy. You kind of have to fry it for a while. You know, right. Tofu is so...
I usually do that in the oven and I get it pretty crisp.
I've tried it in the oven and it doesn't get that little bit of texture or crunch that, you know, when you deep fry it or do it with plenty of oil. So I'm going to do it this way.
So
I'll take the extra firm tofu, cut it in slices, press the water out of it as much as I can with paper towels, dredge it in, put it into cubes, dredge it into flour, fry it at a high temperature so it gets a little bit crispy, and then put it on paper towels, let it drain. Then in another pot, I'll saute some scallion and garlic, and then add the coconut milk and the canned version.
Right.
And
not to be confused with coconut cream, people. It's like my mistake a couple of weeks ago.
Right. So, so after I, you know, boiled that up for a little bit, I put in my curry powder, my cumin. I might do a little ginger, although that's not technically, I'm trying to make it Thai, but.
Right.
Anyway, I'll do a little ginger because I think it tastes good, and lime juice and
you put some lemongrass. That's Thai.
Yeah, I did. I didn't buy any lemongrass, so I'm not doing it this time. But I'll put in some at the end. I'll put in some fish sauce, some lime juice, and some chopped cilantro.
Sounds delicious.
So, sitting on their stovetop will be that little pot of sauce. Sitting on the counter will be those fried little cubes of tofu and some rice. So what they will do is they will probably nuke the rice.
Heat up their sauce.
Heat the sauce on the stovetop. Take the tofu that's been pre-fried and just kind of stick it in the toaster oven right before they want to serve it. And I'm going to also on the side do some toasted chopped peanuts that they can sprinkle on the top.
Are you going to do some vegetables? You know what I envision with that? I envision an entire head of bok choy. Saute garlic and onion and put the whole thing of bok choy in and cook down and put a big squeeze of lemon on it. Yum.
Well, you know what? They're vegan, so they have tons of vegetables.
I know, so, but you're making them a full dinner, right?
Well, all right. Well, I didn't buy any, you know, organic vegetables. Well, the second dish, and then they couldn't decide between the coconut tofu dish and the stuffed cauliflower, which I proposed. So I said, okay, why don't I do the stuffed cauliflower also, and you can have it on Saturday night. And they were like, oh my God. So I've never done it vegan, but I will this week. So I'm going to take a head of cauliflower. The recipes I've read say to boil that head of cauliflower for like a long time, which I don't think is good. So I'm going to not quite blanch it, but I'll
cook it a little bit.
Cook it a little bit.
Right.
And then what happens is if you cook it too much, the cauliflower kind of falls apart when you try to pry it open. If you cook it just right, which to me is about 3 to 5 minutes, it still holds its integrity. And what you do is you take the cauliflower head and you pull it apart a little bit just to create big crevices.
Yep.
So now you've got your crevices, you've got your cauliflower. and I make the filling, which in this case, because it's vegan, I'm going to do some sauteed onions and garlic mm-hmm. and arugula mm-hmm. and lots of fresh chopped parsley.
That sounds good.
And I'm also going to incorporate some beans because I thought it would be nice to have some protein in this
right.
dish. So some cannellini beans.
Can you put some vegan cheese or something in there? Like,
that's my next challenge.
I'm thinking like Parmesan.
I know. That's how I normally do it with Parmesan. Right. It makes it amazing.
Right.
The Parmesan that the vegan Parmesan that they use is, according to them, not that great. So
using it as an ingredient and you're not just having it by itself, you're incorporating it in with all that other stuff for the stuffing. It sounds like it would work. No.
What, with the vegan Parmesan?
Yeah.
It might. I'm going to see. I do hope to incorporate some vegan cheese in this because I think that really makes this dish.
Yeah.
But what
I want some ground beef, but
I know ground beef is good. But I'll incorporate some nutritional yeast, mm-hmm. which is big in vegan cooking because it does add kind of a cheesy flavor to the dish. And so hopefully I'm going to be incorporating some vegan cheese, like real cheese, like a vegan Parmesan or a vegan mozzarella or whatever. Uh-huh. And then so you take this mixture. So I take everything and I kind of like I puree the beans and I saute the arugula and the parsley and garlic and everything else.
And then you cram it in the crevices?
You push it in the crevices and I'll tell you, there's nothing more satisfying.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I know. I know you know.
Yeah.
Then pushing.
Same thing when you're stuffing an artichoke. Same thing.
It's like when you're pushing it in, it's like, oh. Oh, it's so satisfying. Like
making it sound sexual.
It is, but it is.
It's sensual.
It's sensual. Not sexual. It is sensual.
I gotcha.
And so you push it all in there. And then what I plan on doing is then rubbing a bunch of even some of that mixture that I've stuffed the cauliflower with. I'm gonna rub it on the outside. And then I'm going to brush it with some oil or coconut oil or whatever, and then dredge it in panko.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that. Yum. Yeah.
So then you take that entire head of cauliflower that's been stuffed and you put it in the oven. You bake it for 45 minutes.
This sounds really good.
It is really good, Laura.
I'm going to look for a picture and I'm going to post a picture of
this.
It's
really good. So this is the first time I'm doing it vegan and I'm kind of excited about it. And then I'm going to make some homemade marinara because they haven't had homemade marinara in, a long time. Mm-hmm. And they get some good brands of jars, but I'm just going to make a homemade marinara and I'm going with Paul Sorvino's recommendation.
Ugh.
Oh, stop.
With the garlic and the razor blade bullshit?
No, but no onion.
Oh, no onions. Okay.
Because that's how I make marinara now. I only make it with garlic.
Come on. You need onion in it.
Okay. No, you're stuck in your thinking.
I am stuck in my grandmother's.
I know.
Yes.
But you know what? You know what I decided? When I make marinara without onion, based on Paul Sorvino's recommendation.
I know, but Paul Sorvino's just doing what his mother did.
Okay, but
they obviously came from a horrible, horrible place in Italy where they had no access to onions.
No, because I have done it and I realize what they're talking about. That when you do onion and garlic in a marinara, it's wonderful. It's what we all grew up with, but it's a more pure version. When he said, what was it like 4 years ago that we talked with Paul Sorvino?
Probably longer
about
than that. Yeah.
That he said they fight each other. He said that the garlic and the onion fight each other. I don't think they fight each other. I think they complement each other, but he has a point.
I totally disagree.
All right. Well,
I respectfully totally disagree.
All right. Well, I find it easier.
So you're serving the marinara on the side of the cauliflower?
No, I think they should slice the cauliflower.
And then put it on top?
And put it on top or put it on a bed of the marinara.
Right.
And the way I think about it, because, you know, I grew up thinking I was Italian, mm-hmm. and any of my relatives who would be rolling, you know, who would take umbrage to the fact that I'm not putting onion in my marinara, they're all dead. So I don't have to.
They're watching from above. You're going to have shit flying around your kitchen.
So
I'm going to make this stuffed cauliflower. I'm going to bastardize your vegan recipe, and I'm going to put meat or something in it. Ground turkey or something, but I'm going to make something similar because Annie's son, Ryan, and his fiance, Kara, who were with me for almost 10 weeks during quarantine, are coming back on Saturday. They're both being tested and they're coming back for a week on Saturday. Okay. So I'm going to be pulling out all my, you know, highly vegetable recipes for them because they all, you know, they eat pretty clean. So
do they eat meat?
They do eat meat. Yes. No, they definitely
suggest,
eat meat.
I would strongly suggest, and this is a personal thing, but I would strongly suggest keeping the meat out of this dish and having your meat accompany this dish.
No, I think I like this. Well, I could try it both ways. I think the first way I want to do it is with some meat in there with the filling. And okay. I would make just what I generally, which was my grandmother's stuffed artichokes. You know, it's a mixture of vegetables and a little bit of breadcrumb and egg and Parmesan. And I might put a little ground something in there.
Do it, man. Do it.
I'm going to do it. But sounds, you know, good though. And I love the, I hope I can find a picture and I'll post it, you know, with today's show. I bet the presentation is just very cool with the cauliflower stuffed.
It is.
Neat.
It's you put it like you do a giant slice, you know, a giant slice of that is like a meal.
Like a cross section. Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
And another vegan recipe, of course, this wasn't presented to me as a vegan recipe because my friend Freddie shared it on Facebook, but I thought it was so interesting. He posted something about this, maybe a Hungarian cream of mushroom soup. And the recipe called for sauteed mushrooms, as we would expect, sauteed mushrooms, garlic,
onions,
vegetable stock. And then it called for, and then when you saute those vegetables, then you put in the flour and you cook the flour. So it's going to thicken whatever you wind up with.
Yeah.
And then he put in milk instead of heavy cream, because heavy cream, you don't have to add the flour. It just thicken itself, and it's actually a more refined kind of soup. But so this recipe calls for flour when you're sauteing the vegetables and milk. I'm going to do, and at the end, you add to this particular recipe, soy sauce.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't expect that.
I know.
Interesting.
But I'm going to do that same concept with coconut milk, but not the stuff you get from a can. Now, I recently sent my significant other to the grocery store, and I told him what I wanted.
Right.
And I said, I want coconut milk. And I put it in the can section of things that I wanted.
Yeah.
And he came home with two big containers of like chilled
coconut
fresh
water.
Coconut milk.
Oh.
So you can get coconut milk from, you know, the dairy aisle.
Right.
So
like
I'm
oat
make
milk, soy milk, almond milk.
Yeah. Right. I've been drinking it because he got two containers. I'm like, dude, we don't drink this. But so I've been drinking it. But I'm going to make that cream of mushroom soup with the coconut milk.
That's going to be good.
I think it will be.
I think it's going to be fabulous. Well, my friend, we've come to another end. We're literally out of time.
Jeez Louise, I could keep talking.
I know, me too.
But we're done.
We're done. And we will see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
See
you next time.